This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson with Mark Melusis taking you through the night on VSiN Prime Time. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you making us part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Real quick, Derek Stevens just walked into the studio. Wasn't expecting to see him. We have a guest on the line. I was unaware Derek, the owner of Circa, was dropping by here. But Derek has something he wants to say real quick.
No, it's good to see you. I'm glad you have the guest. We had a bad schedule. Great to see you.
Great to see you. You never know what
you're going to run into. We got Wilbo over here, too. We weren't quite sure.
You guys want to come back in 15 minutes?
We're good. We got to run.
You got to run?
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Derek. Sorry. He's great suit today, by the way. An absolutely fantastic suit.
Checkered. Beautiful.
Yeah. So, all right. With that, we'll keep you updated on the baseball all night long. We've got plenty to discuss as far as the World Cup is concerned, and that's what we're going to do right now going out to the Progressive Guest Line. Michael LaHood is with us, covering the sport right now, CBS Sports, former professional player at Michael LaHood. You can find him on X, 8 years in the MLS, two in the NASL, two in the USL, ninth overall pick in the MLS draft when he came out, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Michael, talk to me, man, because we're on the air right now. We're watching the soccer match with Portugal and Croatia, but we're not totally locked into all the developments. What has stood out the most for you in watching this at 0-0 at the half?
Well, first of all, it's good to be on, and big shout out to our mutual friend, Andrew Passaro. Passaro, I know you're listening. I know you want to make some money, so dial into what I'm about to say, because this is a big one, fellas. It's the two oldest players in World Cup history to ever start a World Cup knockout match. It's Cristiano Ronaldo, Luka Modric, two Ballon d'Or winners, but we haven't really seen either of them put their stamp on this game. It's exactly what I thought it was going to be, and it's a cagey affair. And when I was looking at the odds coming into this, and I actually had to just tweak the odds a bit, there was a moment in the 12th minute where I thought, okay, Portugal looked like the team that's on top. And I said, okay, let me sprinkle a little bit of money on this. And Portugal, in the 12th minute, Ronaldo gets a free kick. The weight of the world's on his shoulders. Everyone is holding their breath. It was at minus 300, and he shanks it. Wow. Not what I was thinking. So Portugal, definitely the favorites going into halftime. But this Croatia side, they're a stubborn bunch.
What do you expect? What's the adjustment you expect from Croatia here in the second half, Michael, if they're able to pull off the upset?
Well, this is a Croatia side that they are willing to suffer for one another. And I think in transition, that is where they can make people a lot of money today. One player that I really like for this Croatian side, Martin Vatradina, we cover him at the Golos Network at CBS Sports, and he plays for just one of the most beautiful places to play soccer on planet Earth. FOMO. It's where George Klina goes to vacation. It's also where Martin Vatradina scores a bunch of goals and makes people a bunch of money. I like his pace. I like his just positional awareness. And he's the sort of player that could just score a goal from something out of absolutely nothing from a pass from Luka Modric.
Michael LaHood's with us, CBS Sports soccer analyst. Right now, Portugal minus 135 on the money line to win in 90 minutes. Croatia 7-1. The draw is plus 180. And coming into this match, it feels like a lot of the talk, Michael, was about the central focus of this Portugal offense and Ronaldo, and that being an issue where they're getting bogged down offensively. Is that something you're seeing tonight, or have they kind of adjusted with this matchup tonight?
I think they've made some significant adjustments, and let's take some context into this. There's a lot of emotions really surrounding this Portuguese side because one of their former teammates, Diogo Jota, he actually passed away almost a year ago to the day in a tragic car accident. So their head coach, Roberto Martinez, said that this is going to be a second World Cup for them and that they should play in honor of him. So a lot of these players, they're not just playing for glory, but they're also playing for a fallen comrade and a former teammate. So Cristiano Ronaldo, what I've seen from him is he's trying to just get touches on the ball as great players do, get a feel, get a rhythm. But when I looked at the odds for him, anytime goal scorer, right now it's at plus 115. I think that's going to come very good because Rafa Leão, their left winger for Portugal, he's having a field day right now. on Josip Stanisic, the right fullback for Croatia. It's a mismatch. We've seen Rafa Leao pick his head up and look for Ronaldo. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not telling anyone to do something crazy. Look, I got 11-month-old at home. I got diapers to buy. I got baby food, to buy as well. So we bet responsibly, right? So I'm not saying first goal scorer, but keep an eye on Cristiano Ronaldo, anytime goal scorer, plus 115. And I'm going to throw you another bone. Rafa Leao, plus 100 to score or assist. I think both of those odds, you can cash in on that because they look hungry.
Michael, I want to ask you about the match that gets going later on tonight, 11 o'clock Eastern time. What's your thoughts on Switzerland and Algeria?
Yeah, well, this is going to be what I coined the Vladimir Petkovic derby, or the rivalry match for the Algeria coach, who used to actually coach the Swiss national team back in the 2014 World Cup. And this Swiss side, unfortunately, they did well in the group stage, and they came up against a guy named, I don't know, you may have heard him, Lionel Messi, and they fell short right at the death. So they're a really, really good team. They're a dark horse. And as good as Algeria are on the African continent, I just think that Switzerland, money line at minus 225, I almost want to guarantee it, but I know nothing is guaranteed in sports. But I don't care. I'm going to guarantee it anyways. Minus 225 money line, hammer that home. Switzerland will win the Vladimir Petkovic derby solely because they have one of the best players that you probably don't think of when you think of Swiss football, in Granit Xhaka. He is the general. He is the captain. He is the heart and soul. And he's also the metronome. He's got a winning mentality. And every single team he plays for, they tend to win big games and big tournaments and big moments. So up Swiss, as they say.
Michael Lahoud is our guest, CBS Sports soccer analyst. I want to ask you for one last thing before we go. The U.S. plays on Monday. They're minus 120 favorites against Belgium. How's it look for our boys? Do they really have a chance here to make it to the final eight?
Yeah, look, this is U.S. side that's going to be reeling a bit because as great as the performance was in the round of 32 against their opponent, who, let's be honest, the U.S. was miles better than Bosnia-Herzegovina. It was levels to this. They're going to be missing Fuller and Balogun, who's cooking. We call him Chef Balogun because he's cooking up something special in the kitchen for the U.S. men's national team. Well, he's actually out. He's going to be suspended. I don't think he should have gotten a red card. Up steps Ricardo Pepi. And Ricardo Pepi, he's listed anytime goal scorer, plus 175. But I really think that this is the game for when Christian Pulisic, and oh, looks like Croatia almost scored. Mateo Kovacic, oh, man, wow. That would have just thrown my Ronaldo bet out the window. But this is time for Captain America Christian Pulisic, as Croatia fans are screaming right here in Queens, New York, thinking Croatia should have scored. But Captain America, I think he's going to score a goal. I think he's going to look back to his best. And there's some good money and good value on it. Plus 170, Christian Pulisic, anytime goal scorer. You bet your house on it. Just don't bet my dreadlocks on it because I like my hair.
I like where your head's at with that one. He's Michael Lahoud. Check him out, CBS Sports and on X, at Michael Lahoud. Hey, man, that was awesome. Would love to chat again throughout the World Cup.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Awesome stuff from Michael on the World Cup. And he's right. Croatia had a chance. They're still on the attack right now with possession,
no doubt,
looking for a corner. This could, if they score first, one, it kills one of my bets. But two, Portugal and all the issues that they've had to start this thing off, I don't know what adjustment they make after that. But feels like you have to go away from Ronaldo at that point and open it up for other people to have opportunities. If you're the Portuguese in this spot, just going to pull up the live line right now, Moose, because we are scoreless at the 48-minute mark, just underway in the second half. 90-minute line, Portugal's minus 115, Croatia 6-1, draws plus 160 as they thwart the attempt from Croatia and Portugal back in possession of the ball.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what pressure does, you know, when you're looking at it. And it's hard for, you know, you and I are not huge soccer guys, right? But when you look at the event of the World Cup and what this means to each and every one of these players that are on the pitch in any given match, you know, and how tight they can get, right? And how really when you look at the coaching or, you know, how restrictive they can get or conservative at times. For Portugal here, we've seen teams respond. Listen, we saw England respond. We saw Belgium respond. We saw a team like Germany not respond and get eliminated. It'll be interesting to see if Croatia, is able to get the first one through. How Portugal, obviously coming into this one as a heavy favorite to advance against Croatia, how Portugal does respond, especially with all the word and belief that this is going to be Ronaldo's final run representing Portugal in international soccer. So it's going to be fun here in the second half. As long as Croatia keeps this game scoreless, the better chance they have to win.
Updates for you in Major League Baseball. The White Sox have taken a lead on the Guardians in the fifth, 3-2. This Sam Antonacci at the top of the order, he's a 300 hitter on the year, does really well against righties. He's 2-for-3. He just scored a run. He drove in a run. He's a big part of why Chicago is now leading on the road at Cleveland. Atlanta is on top of St. Louis, 5-3 in the third. Dustin May knocked out, not able to get out of the first inning in this matchup down at Truist Park. And it looks like Tampa Bay on the offensive attack early. They lead Kansas City at Kauffman, 3-1. We're in the second, and the top of the order back up with Yandy Diaz at the dish mark.
Yeah, and the Rays came into this one, you know, with a 3.5 game lead over the Yankees in the American League East. And Dustin, as you mentioned last hour when we were talking about this game, winners of 7 straight. Caminero has been unbelievable, has hit home runs in 6 straight games. And the Tampa Bay Rays, after a lot of Yankee fans felt like they were going to run away and hide in the American League East, look at the Tampa Bay Rays back on top of the division, and they've gotten a 3-1 lead over the Royals.
The NBA offseason's been crazy. Coming up in about 15-20 minutes, bottom of this hour. I'll just do the exact time. 8:30 Eastern time. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA insider. What's hot and heavy with LeBron? Is there another big move to be made by some of these contenders? All of that and more coming your way on VSiN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on VSiN Primetime alongside Mark Malusis, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and we finally have action in Toronto. And it's not
we do.
It's not Kawhi in the private jet landing for his press conference with the Raptors. No. Croatia on the board first, 1-0, 54-minute mark. And Mark, I got to tell you, the setup for the goal, the cross pass, punching it in into the net, and Portugal all of a sudden's on their heels trailing in this one in the round of 32.
Yeah, I think it was Ivan Perisic. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly for Croatia. That gives them the 1-0 lead at the 53rd minute of the second half. And you look at it statistically, I mean, Portugal right now has got 9 shots. They've only had 1 shot on target the entire game. I mean, that's it for Portugal. And now they're in a little bit of a pressure cooker. There's no doubt about it, Dustin, that the fact that they're trailing now in the second half, they were a decided favorite coming into this match. We were talking about if Croatia could ever strike first, how would Portugal respond? Well, we're all going to find out together.
This is crazy. Betting market, I mentioned Portugal right before that goal was down to minus 115. They're plus 425. Croatia's minus 105. A draw is plus 180. Now a draw makes sense to me. One thing I have noticed watching all this soccer, we do get a lot of goals late. Oh, my God, did Croatia just score again? Or is that going to be called off? It's called off for offsides, I think. Yeah, they're not celebrating. Oh, my goodness. Unless they're going to review it, Croatia had another offensive opportunity. I didn't anticipate this. Just based on everything you've seen from them, you didn't think they'd have so many opportunities to throw the ball at the net. Yeah, that's offsides. Even I know that's offsides. Yeah, the player who set up the goal was standing behind the defenders. But either way, you can respect Croatia on the attack. At this point, I think draw 2-1 is worth a look just because Portugal likely going to get one eventually. They were favored to win this, but I don't know if they'll get two with the way that Croatia's playing right now.
No, and this would be a disaster if Portugal loses this match and doesn't advance. Ronaldo's final run in a World Cup, there's no doubt the legendary player that Ronaldo has been. not only for Portugal, but really on the worldwide soccer scene. But I would expect, listen, I'd be stunned if this game, if this match ends up 1-0. I really would be. But give Croatia credit. They've done exactly what they've needed to do. They've withstood the rush of Portugal in the first half. They get the first goal of the match. They put an inherent amount of pressure on Portugal to respond. Let's see how they respond here as we've hit the 57th minute of the second half.
Well, here's the question. Do they turn to the man that's been their leader for so many World Cups now, and Cristiano Ronaldo, who's plus 145 for an anytime goal? Just watching soccer, the thing that jumps out a lot of times to me is, in basketball, we can have an alternate hero. You can have an OG Anunoby step up with a big play and a big moment.
It
feels like in these critical spots in soccer, though, it's Harry Kane, it's Messi, and to some degree, maybe Ronaldo, plus 145 anytime goal.
The question is, you know, you look at, and I understand, you know, where he is at this stage of his career, right? It's one thing when you look at Mbappe from France, or you're looking at Harry Kane from England. Even some people had doubts about what version of Lionel Messi we were going to see for Argentina in this World Cup. A lot of people were down on Ronaldo before World Cup began. And let's see if they can, let's see if the big, you know, the big player, the big star for Portugal can get the tire here for Portugal in the second half.
Croatia on the offense again with the attack. And wow, that was a Portugal shot that just went, they're showing a replay, one that went off the crossbar. So things are just not going their way right now. This game's gotten really exciting. And I think the fact that Croatia with that surprising goal, and now with a corner coming up here after Portugal had six corners to none for Croatia to start this thing out, Croatia seems to be in command offensively. I'm really surprised by what we're seeing. We'll see if Portugal can generate some offense. But again, a chance for Portugal to get it out of their end, and Croatia keeps it back on their side of things. So Mark and I,
well,
guys,
here's where you give. Yeah, Dustin, I don't mean to interrupt you, but here's where you give Croatia credit, because we've seen these teams that were underdogs coming into these matches. If they get the first goal, sometimes they play back and try and get a little bit defensive and go into a little bit of a shell. Croatia has seen a team in Portugal tonight back on their heels a little bit, down 1-0, and they're continuing the attack. That's where you give Croatia a ton of credit. The World Cup's been fantastic. I mean, it really has been. The matches have been great. I'd not be all that surprised if we see a crazy last, let's see, you know, 30-plus minutes in this match.
No, this is awesome. This is what we were waiting for. We still have one match yet to start. Bit later with the schedule, it feels like, tonight compared to yesterday. So we'll look at that coming up here in just a bit. But Switzerland and Algeria. Switzerland's minus 210 to advance. Algeria's plus $1.70. And I'm still waiting for a good pitch here in my DMs, Mark. I put on social, we talked about it early, about I'm looking for a Premier League team. A lot of people tell me I need to watch Premier League action if I want to do something, if I want to come up with my team. Oh, my God, that was a beautiful goal. Portugal, and it is indeed Cristiano Ronaldo. Are they going to say
Ronaldo
he's offside?
With the goal.
Oh, he's called for offsides. Also, I'm learning in soccer, offsides is like holding. You can call it on every big play. That's what I'm learning as well. We have this tweet, and I believe this is from Ronaldo's sister. Cristiano Ronaldo to retire from international football with Portugal after the World Cup. His sister Katia says, quote, enjoy it while it lasts. It's ending soon. The info I have from reliable source, this is his last dance. I guess she told Sport TV, which is what? Why? What? If you were someone like Ronaldo, one of the most famous people on the planet, legitimately, wouldn't you have a deal with your family? Don't speak to the media and tell people about my situation and my private life.
Yeah, you would think so. But I mean, is it saying anything that we're not all that surprised about? I mean, he's in his, you know, early 40s. I think he's 41. He's scored nearly 1,000 career goals for his career, right? 35 senior trophies that he's won. I mean, anything, you know, when you look at UEFA, when you're looking at what he's been able to do for Portugal in the Euro 2016, you know, this would be the cherry on the top for Ronaldo and for Portugal, even though, you know, they didn't come into this one as a betting favorite. A lot of people are talking about how France is dominant, Spain. Obviously, you're looking at Harry Kane in England. and what they were able to do the other day. But a lot of people believe the English or might be the best soccer team coming into this World Cup. Not a lot of people believe that Portugal can get it done. But I think, you know, for the swan song here, and if this in, this report ends up being true, and I'll go on the idea that it is, there's nothing that Ronaldo and Portugal would like more than to win the World Cup in his swan dance.
That goal wiped off the board. Portugal making some substitutions here. I really don't like that you're limited to a certain number of substitutions in soccer. I think that's weird. It feels un-American to be able to constantly tinker with something and try and find a way to perfect it. Portugal on the 90-minute line up to 5-1. Croatia's minus 105. Your draw is plus 185. A baseball update.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, can I push back on that for a second, Dustin? I get it, the whole un-American aspect of it. First off, I don't like the hydration breaks, but it comes to a little strategy here. You got to make sure to pick your lineup and understand that you only have a couple tweaks that you can make over the course of the match, that you can't go all of a sudden, you can't go and trying to search and trying to find the right lineup that works and, you know, having wholesale changes. So I kind of respect it a little bit. I got to be honest with you.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't bother me. The hydration breaks bother me when it's like 68 degrees outside,
well,
but that bothers me.
That is, the hydration break is the most American thing, because that is basic capitalism. Has nothing to do with the action on the field. It's all about making money with commercial breaks. I just got tortured, completely tortured by the Cleveland Guardians. I'm on Slade Ciccone over 16.5 outs recorded. He gets through the fifth at 95, 96 pitches. They bring him back out for the sixth inning, and he allows a leadoff double. The next player hits a two-run home run, and now he's out of the game. So he completed 15 outs. I needed two more to go over. And they toyed with bringing him back out, and he absolutely melted. Like, I had a chance for a bet that was dead for him to actually win it, and in the end, he gets smoked. And just like that, the Chicago White Sox on the road extend their lead. They were down 2-0 early. They're now up 5-2, and they're minus 970 on the money line. The Guardians are plus 534, Mark. Absolute torture.
Yeah. That's a tough one. But, you know, 100 pitches when you're looking at it, you know, 9 hits, 5 runs, 3 strikeouts, 5 earned runs, and did allow that home run. That's a tough one. I mean, that is, when you're looking at your starters tonight, Dustin, you had May early, staked to the 3-0 lead. He didn't make it through the bottom half of the first inning. He threw 35 pitches, recorded 2 outs before he limped off the field. And now you got this going on between Cleveland and Chicago.
I am getting absolutely crushed right now. It's like, I'm at a point where I'm looking at the board and I want to go, what do you like? Bet the opposite. That's where I'm at right now. After what was a really good couple months for me, it is definitely cut. It's evened out. Trust me. We're even back out in the end. Hey, and if you want to sign up for the football contest here at Circa, they're open and you don't have to live in Las Vegas if you want to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner Circle Proxy handles your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at WinnerCircleProxy.com. He's Mark Melusis. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. When we return, ESPN's Bobby Marks will join us. Are the Sixers done adding after the trade for Jaylen Brown? And where does he think LeBron James plays next year? That's next on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tied up in the World Cup, a Ronaldo penalty kick, 1-1 at the 69-minute mark. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Speaking of marks, that's Mark Melusis. We're taking you through the night here on VSiN Primetime. And right now, we'll step aside from the World Cup and the live baseball and talk a little NBA, because the association, Mark, has been crazy for the last week. Free agency has opened up. There's been a ton of teams going all in this next year and making some deals. And a guy is at the center of it all is our next guest. He is Bobby Marks, NBA insider for ESPN. And he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Bobby, thanks for doing this today. And obviously, we all saw the headlines over the weekend, your appearance down the dial from us on Sirius XM with NBA Radio. And for those of us who listened to the clip, we heard the full context of the quote, where an analytics guy viewed Jaylen Brown as the 7th best player on a team. And basically what that told us is the asking price for him wasn't what we all thought it was going to be, and it kind of looks like that's what it ends up being with a couple first-round picks going from Philadelphia and Paul George up to Boston. What do you make of the deal with Jaylen Brown going and joining the 76ers now?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised as far as what came back. I mean, certainly you can debate over the Paul George contract, of course, coming back. I thought that, the asking price was high in the beginning. And I think a lot of teams kind of, went away from that and kind of went about and did their own business and didn't go back and see if they can counter or not. And, Philly made an offer and, Boston elected to go that direction there. I think certainly you're swapping out a 29-year-old for a 36-year-old who has played, I think, 78 games in the last 2 years. I think that's probably the sense of, I guess frustration or disappointment if you're a Celtic fan. But it wasn't, Jalen Brown's a heck of a player and stuff like that. But I think when you take into account the contract and I guess fit, as I say, trades are based on circumstances. There's a reason why Utah got a certain amount of picks for Walker Kessler and Boston got a certain amount of picks for Jaylen Brown.
Bobby, has things gotten a little wonky when it comes to, grading out players analytically and what you see on the court, and listen, I understand all information can be used and all information is good information. But when you look at Jaylen Brown, he might not be great analytically, but I do know this. Right. When the Celtics were in the finals, he was the MVP of the series.
Sure. Yeah, he's 191 and 80, I want to say. And, in the last 4 years, he's only 29. He's healthy. He's durable. I think there's a role for stats. And, we grew up with stats. And, stats are analytics. And, as far as making – certainly decisions here. I just think, sometimes the eye test sometimes outweighs what the number sometimes says. And every team goes about it differently. I think we're in a little bit of a different generation where front offices view it. Front offices, and when I got in the league in 95, we had 15 people in there. That's probably, sports science or the, strategy department are 7 or 8 deep and everything. And yeah, I think, as I said, there's a role for it, but I do think you have to kind of temper that down and figure out kind of what if the player can play for you, how do you maximize what he can do?
Bobby Marks is our guest, ESPN NBA front office insider. And Bobby, a lot of us are wondering, where does Boston go from here? Because a couple weeks ago, if you're a Celtic fan, you're dreaming about the possibility of getting Giannis. Now you have Paul George at this point in his career. And by the way, the betting markets, they've only adjusted slightly. Boston's still the second shot in the Eastern Conference. Right. A lot of people up there in Massachusetts believe in Brad Stevens and what he's going to do here. Sure. Does he have another trick up his sleeve?
I don't know if he does. I mean, I think it gives him a little bit more optionality here. I think probably the betting markets are relying on a little bit what Joe Mazzulla was able to do last year without Jason Tatum. And you had Jalen and, with Peyton Pritchard and Derek White. And now you flip out Brown for George and you basically kind of bring back the same cast and you had Mitchell Robinson and everything. So there's probably a lot of faith in what Joe can do. And certainly if there's another move for Brad, I don't anticipate it, and at least right now, another move. But as I said, those picks give you the optionality that you didn't have before.
Bobby, over to LeBron here, which is going to be fascinating to follow here moving forward. I mean, the reports, Philly's interested, the Knicks are interested. If money is not the driving force and putting himself in a winning situation and wanting to win, how vast is the market here for LeBron?
Yeah, it's interesting, Mark. It's like different than what we've gone through before in LeBron's free agency, whether it be 2010 or 2010, and then again in, I guess, what was that, 14, and then I think 18. This year, it's basically everyone's on an equal playing field, financially at least, because as you said, it's not about teams creating cap space to go out and sign him. I think winning is certainly a priority for him. I don't know if that's the only thing. I think certainly what type of people players are in that locker room. I think the ability to, from a chemistry standpoint here, I think all these teams offer something compelling, right? I mean, I think certainly whether it be Philadelphia with Maxey and Embiid and Edgecombe and Brown, or Golden State with Curry, Giannis, of course, Miami, going back to Cleveland with kind of a little bit of a ready-made roster. And you mentioned New York, the champs and everything. So he's got to figure out as far as what the next step is going to be. People ask me, is it better to go east, is it west? It's a hard answer, because in the west, you've got the two teams, San Antonio, OKC. But in the east is a lot better conference overall from top to bottom and everything. And the world champs are standing right there.
Bobby, it's been an ultra-aggressive offseason. LaMelo going to Minnesota, Jaylen Brown to Philly, as we touched on, Kawhi to Toronto, Giannis to Miami. Who's next? Like I see Detroit out there. I know they want to do something. Denver obviously doesn't just want to run it back. Do you anticipate there's another big move coming here in the offseason?
Well, you never say never. I mean, I think a lot of them will play. We have a lot of players that are extension eligible. There's marquee names out there, and I'm not saying that because a guy doesn't sign an extension that means they're going to be traded, but I think you kind of read the tea leaves and see what's going to happen with those players and everything. Who's the next domino to go? Certainly we saw Kawhi and as you mentioned, some of the other names and everything like that, but as I say, it takes a player to kind of want out to kind of start to create a marketplace.
Bobby, I want to ask you, because James Dolan, even before the Knicks had their parade in New York City, went on the airwaves in New York and said, well, we're not going into the second apron.
Sure.
For those, and Bobby, you're brilliant at this, for just how restrictive, and they lose Mitchell Robinson in free agency to the Boston Celtics. Just how restrictive is going into the second apron for an NBA team?
It's restrictive if your roster is average at best, or if your upside is kind of capped, because it really limits you as far as the ability to add from the outside, the ability to go out and make a trade, take back more money. But it does allow you. You can still go out and make trades. Cleveland traded for James Harden. They traded for DeAndre Hunter, and they did some things here. But yeah, I think that the biggest thing with the apron rules is that it's like if it forces you to pick and choose as far as who you want to keep and who you don't have to keep. They had the option to keep Mitchell Robinson if they wanted to, and they didn't. And now he'll be replaced probably by a player on a minimum contract, or they have to make a trade and everything. So, yeah, I mean, Oklahoma City, you saw it. They've trimmed a bunch of salary with Aaron Wiggins and Isaiah Joe, but they still went out and re-signed Kendrick Williams because it allows you to retain their players and go into the apron. I think if you have the resources, like the roster resources with draft equity and young players, I think there's a way to get around it. But like what you saw with Phoenix, when you have three guys on top heavy contracts and you're basically playing the minimum market, it makes it a lot more challenging.
Bobby, real quickly before we let you go, the Lakers offseason. Kessler, Grimes, Sexton, Mamukush, Lavili, they extend Reeves. Are they a better team right now than they were a year ago with LeBron?
Probably not. And that might change in the middle because, he's the best player in free agency isn't there. So, but I think it's something that you probably had to do as far as both parties kind of walking away to kind of give it a little bit of a new coat of paint with this group here. And listen, I get it that the people are up in arms about the picks. And I said yesterday, picks eventually weren't going to be traded. They were going to be traded for somebody. they were going to be traded for some center out there. And they do it for Walker Kessler. And it's a different group. It's a matter of now it's kind of meshing with, a bunch of new faces with Doncic and Reeves. Defensively, I think a little bit of a challenge in a backcourt, but they do get Kessler, who's, one of the better bigs, defensively.
Bobby, we really appreciate the time. We know it's a crazy time for you. Keep up the awesome work. We'll be checking it out on ESPN. He's Bobby Marks, ESPN Front Office Insider. Thanks so much, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Awesome stuff from Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby.
Mark and I will dive into that LeBron market because it keeps fluctuating. And right now, the team at the top of the board is one that I did place a future on last week. And it looks like we have an update in the World Cup, Mark. Croatia looks like they – oh, it's another offsides on a goal. I am over it. I am over the offsides. Bring back the human element. You know what? FIFA's leaning into the AI computer takeover of the world. We are just pawns in their game.
Thank you.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming at you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Dustin Sweetelson alongside Mark Melusis as we've got live action, Major League Baseball, and the World Cup currently in progress. Portugal and Croatia, 84-minute mark, and we are tied up at ones. It does feel like a draw is very likely at this point, and draw is the favorite play at minus 205 on the three-way line.
Yeah, and that's where you see, you know, after the penalty kick by Ronaldo to even the matchup at one apiece, Dustin, you've seen in these matches and numerous times, especially when we get to this knockout stage in the round of 32, where no team wants to make the mistake. No team wants to go out there and make the mistake that ends up costing them a chance to go out there in advance. So they'd rather take their chances, get to extra time in that 30 minutes and see exactly if they're able to get a goal there, or then maybe go to the penalty kicks to where teams get really conservative, get really defensive. You don't see a lot of great scoring chances. So we'll see if anybody's able to break through late here, especially with the added time.
I've decided my favorite phrase in sports now comes from soccer, and it's park the bus. Park the bus. I think it's the greatest way and most simple way of explaining what your plan is going forward. I'm trying to think, if a European soccer fan was watching American football or baseball, I wonder what phrase they would choose. Like, oh man, I love the way that just explains it. But to me, park the bus is like the most perfect explanation of a strategy I've ever heard of.
That is a good one. I like that. Listen, you pick up, that's what you love about when you're watching something kind of, not for the first time. We've watched soccer, right? We've watched Premier League. We've watched World Cup before in our lifetimes. But the coverage now that you get, the wall-to-wall coverage, the buildup, and some of the phraseology that you use, you steal it. I mean, it's great. Park the bus is great. I love that. I love some of the stuff that you hear in terms of the touches, tremendous left foot, brilliant. Like, everything that you get from soccer is just fantastic.
On the front foot, as Portugal tries for a header on a corner and it goes out of bounds, which means Croatia takes over. They will have possession. We are at the 86-42 mark of this round of 32 matchup in Toronto, Canada. Now, in Major League Baseball, we have a battle in Kansas City where the Rays lead the Royals 3-1, fourth inning, as Ian Seymour, 3 2/3 innings, two hits, one earned, six strikeouts for Ian Seymour. His strikeout prop was 4.5. He has gone over that number. He flirted with a no-hitter, or he had 6 2/3 no-hit innings against this same Kansas City lineup a week ago, and he continues to be another one of these guys you'd never heard of play for the Tampa Bay Rays and make an impact, where they're 50-33 right now, Mark. There are 3.5 games up on the New York Yankees, yet they're still plus 110 to win the AL East.
Right, and I think the argument there, just not from a divisional standpoint, is that the Yankees will get healthier, right? McMahon has been out, no Grisham. They're both on the mend. You're going to see Stanton and Judge it back at some point in time, and Fried has been dealing with that bone bruise in his pitching elbow. But, you know, the Yankees can't be this bad. The Rays can't be this great, right? The Yankees have lost 7 straight. The Rays have won 7 in a row and looking on the verge of trying to win their 8th straight tonight. So from a divisional standpoint, I think when you look at the betting markets, Dustin, there's just this inherent trust that it's the Yankees, especially when they're whole, they're healthy. You looked at that team as probably being better than Tampa Bay, but give the Rays a ton of credit. It drives the Yankees crazy, drives their front office crazy. They don't spend a lot. They're able to find these guys. And I thought you made a great point during the course of the break when we were talking about the Tampa Bay Rays, when they go out there and you bet they're over before the start of the season, Dustin, that, you know, they had veteran pieces and, you know, like a Mullins, like a Mats and everything like that during the course of the offseason, you know, they're going to try and get the best version of those players. And at one point in time, not all that far ago, long ago, Cedric Mullins was a really good, you know, center fielder for the Baltimore Orioles. So you throw in that aspect, you throw in the fact that they win basically the majority of every trade that they make when they pick apart somebody or find somebody down in your farm system. And they've got, in Junior, they've got one of the great young power hitters in the game.
And it looks like Junior Caminero, who's homered in 6 straight, he is at the dish. 0-2 on the day, now facing Randy Dobnak. Not all that different from Stephen Kolek, who started this one for Kansas City. Not a guy who's going to overpower you with his stuff, trying to live and paint the corners here, rely on some breaking and some sinking stuff. Let's see if Caminero can continue this streak. He's up to 24 home runs on the season, taking on Dobnak. And Ooh, Dobnak just missed Lowen in. I am very invested in Junior Caminero. I have 40-1 for AL MVP. That is about the last really good bet I gave out here on VSiN was Junior Caminero, because I got to update you on what's happening in Texas. The Rangers lead the Tigers 3-0. Framber Valdez was plus $1.10 last night. It closed minus 115. We call that closing line value. I got a great number on the Tigers, yet we are through two, and the Texas Rangers lead 3-0. I am on the wrong side of that one right now as well, Mark.
Well, you're a little cold. You're like Yankee cold right now. Maybe in the here's the deal. Like, we opened up the show, like, talking about the Mets. It's a good day because it's an off day. I know it's difficult to do. We're doing a show here on VSiN. Maybe, Dustin, you need a little bit of a reset, right? Maybe a little bit of a reset. You were on a heater for the better part of 2 months.
Yeah.
You couldn't stay hot as a firecracker like that. Now everything you touch. And listen, it works the opposite. Anything Dustin right, just bet the opposite right
No, now. That's it. That's it. I have to go in with, this is my kind of inclination leading in, do a little research and go, you know what? Let me prove, instead of trying to prove my thought right, I'm going to prove my thought wrong in the betting process. That's what we're going to do going forward.
I love you. It's like the Seinfeld episode when George went opposite.
Yes.
Remember that episode where he just started doing the opposite? So maybe after the research, if something that you really like, just go the opposite way.
By the way, we're in extra time in Croatia and Portugal, tied up at ones. Portugal with a corner, and that attempt is thwarted as well. It goes out behind the sideline, and Croatia takes over. We have 10 minutes of extra time in this match, and then we will go to the penalty shots to win this thing. But I think I'm supposed to call them penalties, not penalty shots. People get really upset with the terminology. I know soccer fans are so upset, Mark, because people like us are all – oh, yeah, that's right. There's also 30 minutes of extra time. That's right. But people like us start watching soccer, and we go, you know what? I don't like these rules. You should really change the rules here like we do with the NFL. It's not a catch. We should change this rule. We don't like that this can be reviewed. Soccer fans are so annoyed that people like us are showing up and going, you know what? I think you guys should fix some of these issues.
Yeah, you arrogant Americans. I mean, really, this is the world's game. It's the beautiful game. Now you want to come into this and Americanize it? No, we love it the way that it is. Listen, it is, you know, and I think you have to appreciate, you know, at one point in time, I viewed it as kind of boring. I wanted to see a little bit more, but I think as, you know, the more and more you watch it, Dustin, over the years, the more of an appreciation you have for the athletes, men and women, and what they're able to do, you know, the ability to go out there and play the ball off either foot, the remarkable ability to go out there and have the deft touch or be able to curve the ball and put the spin on the ball. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. And to really honestly push their bodies and push their limits when you think about, you know, soccer players, especially midfielders, they're running anywhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 10 to 12 miles every single match.
No, it's crazy. I actually wish they would put a tracker on them to see how much they run. I always said this about Steph Curry. I wish they would just drop a Fitbit on him at the end of the game. We'd get the stats like how many steps, how many miles, peak heart rate. I want to know heart rate when you're going up for a shot, all that kind of stuff with these guys in the new age world. Like that fascinates me. The fact that you can keep your cool in these pressure-packed moments. Soccer, though, on this stage, you can feel the pressure. It is palpable.
Oh, you can.
What's on the line? And the nationalistic pride is awesome to see. I hate being this dude because I keep saying bad things about the U.S. soccer team, Mark. But I have a lot of questions about how we're favored against Belgium. We'll talk about it throughout the show. We have plenty of time to hype it up. But I am very concerned at the level of confidence. However, should have been more confident in Portugal. They just scored at the 93-minute mark.
Oh, there you go.
Portugal 2-1. The under dies. That's another losing bet today. This is out of control. Oh, Portugal with a goal. Croatia fought so valiantly. And now they're up against it in extra time to try and come back and win down a goal.
Well, I'll give them credit. I mean, Portugal responded just like we saw Belgium respond, just like we saw England respond, you know, when they were facing. And you're not wrong. You can sense it. Listen, you know, even though, you know, we're rooting for, you know, the United States, you watch these matches, you could sense the pressure when you are heavily favored, when you are one of these nations that come into this World Cup with big time expectations. And and you're down in the second half, you can feel the pressure where the seconds are ticking away. So it's remarkable. It's great theater any way you cut it, and this is why you love sports.
Yeah, we will see if Croatia has an answer in the final few minutes there. An update back at Kauffman, Cedric Mullins, who you just mentioned, has left the building. Just went
deep.
Oh,
there we go.
And he drives in a pair. And just like that, Tampa's up 5-1. I went back and forth. Yandy Diaz, Aranda, and Mullins. I wanted to bet two of them to hit a home run. I chose the other two. I did not choose Cedric Mullins, who I think was around 6-1 for a home run tonight.
Yeah, I was on Tampa. I didn't play Mullins, his individual home run prop, but Tampa. I did take Tampa at minus $1.22.
Tampa's in a beautiful position.
On the way.
Minus $12 favorites. The Royals are plus 610, and your in-game total is 10 and a hook. More VSiN Primetime forthcoming.